ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhaktaram yajnatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam santim ricchati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living beings, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Kinandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Janati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sita Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagnarupam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadyutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Visakam Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Tantararadam Sanamostate Tapta Kanchana Gorani Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Visavana Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatirubhiyancha Sakripasandubhivacha Patitanam Pavani Yogeshaivyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasade Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada in the purport says that the conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. So, bhaktaram yajnatapasam, that all sacrifices are ultimately to be performed for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's not going on. Naturally, so many sacrifices are being performed for fulfilling our personal interest. But such sacrifices which we tend to engage in for our own personal interest are actually not bringing benefit. It's the sacrifice to the Supreme Lord that brings actually benefit to the Lord and to ourselves. The Lord is not dependent on our arrangements, because He's Atmaram, Atmaramatsa Munayo. He is known to be fully satisfied within the self. He is independent. He has therefore no need for any offerings from our side. But the offerings are benefiting us. We are, as we are making offerings to the Supreme Lord, we are benefited. And if we understand that actually the whole purpose of life is to make offerings, to offer our entire life, that actually is the aim. That is our natural position. In the history of the world, we find that different cultures all have their saints. In the Catholic Church, they have saints and they burn candles for them. And India has its santas. Saints are all over the place. In Islam, they have saints. And everywhere, they have saints. So, the quality of saints is interesting. Because saints are not like ordinary people. Ordinary people go through so many ups and downs. Oh yes, good luck, bad luck, and you cry. You cry with the losses and you just celebrate with profit. And that's life. But the saints are equipoised. The saints are always in a joyful consciousness, irregardless of the external circumstances, because they have a happiness from within. In all the cultures of the world, the qualities of saintliness are connected to devotees of the Lord. Why is it that the devotees are becoming saintly personalities? For one thing is that the Supreme Lord himself is saintly. Krishna has a very noble character. Krishna is described here as Suridam Sarvadehinam. He is the friend of all living beings, friend or well-wisher of all living beings. So if one becomes the servant of such a person, then one must also become the well-wisher of all living beings. And that's a huge change. Because otherwise, in the material world, it's an elbow this way, an elbow that way, and somehow or other, one has to get in front of the pack. That's what it's all about. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. So, by some arrangement or other. But to be the well-wisher of all living beings is truly an exalted position. That is natural for the servant of the Lord. If one becomes the servant of a particular person, then naturally whatever is important for that person, for our master, will also become important for us. So whatever values are important for Krishna will become important for Krishna's devotee. And thus, the devotee automatically develops similar divine qualities as Krishna is developing. Krishna is as well-wisher of all living entities. I think that is something highly significant. Because at least in my own life, this little line of that verse has become like a major guiding principle that I should try to be the well-wisher of all living entities. It's not always easy. But it's a meditation. It's in the forefront. It's a way of life. Not just in what we eat, but in all our dealings. Whatever we do. To act in business also. Also there one must keep in mind, I am the well-wisher of all living beings. I will make profit, but no undue profit. Because there is profit and undue profit. Some profit one deserves in business, because after all, one goes through the trouble of supplying the goods. And there is a lot of work involved with that. So that time and work that one invests may be rewarded. And therefore, profit is appropriate. but undue profit. More than is necessary. That's where cheating kicks in. That's where greed comes in. And when greed comes in into business, then principles go out of the window. And then, sooner or later, it becomes worse and worse, and one gets implicated in sinful activity. And the whole world is operating like that. In India, if you buy fruits, that apple that you didn't check is a rotten apple. That's just how it is. If you buy each one, you just check it to make sure that it is right. In the West, they just pack four apples with cellophane on top, and two of them are rotten, and there's nothing you can do about it. So it's the cheating, it's pre-packed cheating, right? Or pre-arranged. There's no need anymore for any shopkeeper to sort of do it on the go. In the supermarkets, it's already built in the system. So the cheating propensity is all over the world, because greed is very strong. Naturally, greed is a predominating principle, because to enjoy at the expense of others, that is greed. Gandhi said it: the world is big enough for every man's need, but not for every man's greed. Which is still very nice statement today. It really sums up what goes on in the world. And Srila Prabhupada oftentimes responded to the point of overpopulation and said, overpopulation? Rubbish. He said, there is no overpopulation. He said, the world, there are huge land areas, huge, which are totally unused. Unused in many, many parts of the world. And Prabhupada used to often say that he traveled all over the world, and I have now also tried to travel all over the world, and I can testify to huge areas of land, huge. Or one farmer having like 20, 30,000 hectares of land, or if you calculate it, actually the Hare Krishna movement in Australia used to have a farm of 10,000 hectares. They sold it. But I stayed on that farm for 1 year in the 80s. And it was 10,000 hectares, and there were 10,000 kangaroos, and it was 40 by 25 kilometers. That's like a district. But that was our property, 40 by 25 kilometers. So it was a sizable farm. It was on big site, 40 by 25 k's. We even thought of starting a first Krishna conscious country there. Unfortunately, we had a civil war, which ended our state after some time, and everyone moved away. In other words, we didn't have the maturity to look after such a big property as yet, because that's what it takes, obviously, to manage such a big place. But the very fact that there are people who possess such big land areas and bigger than that, that alone proves that in the world there is enough wealth, there is enough land, there is enough facility, but it's a distribution that is not proper. I was traveling from South Africa to Europe, and as I was on the plane, the whole plane was filled up with people, and it was about time for takeoff, and there was one empty seat next to me. So I thought, okay, that's good. And then I saw this last passenger coming down the aisle, and he was a man of African origin, tall and strong, with a big golden chain around his neck, the type that drug dealers wear. And he came in my direction, and sure enough, sat down next to me, and in his hand he had a book about Pablo Escobar from Colombia, which confirmed the drug suspicion a little more. Then when he told me, when I asked him where he was from, he said Nigeria. That confirmed it. So, I understood then. Shortly after, he started reading a magazine, something like Newsweek or so, or Time magazine, I don't know what, but some news magazine. And he was reading the thing, and then he opened it up on the center spread, and the center spread showed heads of state and how much they had stolen from the people. And the one with the world record was Suharto, according to the magazine, with $39 billion. Okay? So my friend next to me said, and he stole $39 billion. $39 billion. He stole $39 billion. $39 billion. He says, you couldn't spend it if you wanted to. And then he repeated it. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. And finally, I also would go like, he stole $39 billion. $39 billion. You couldn't spend it if you wanted to. I think he got his point across. Huh? And it really, it's incredible. How can somebody steal that much? $39 billion. Just calculate what you could do if you would divide that here in Leicester. We'd have Christmas every day. It would be quite a party, right? I mean, you know, anything less than a Mercedes wouldn't be driving around anymore, would it? No way. So it would permanently change the face of Leicester, yeah? Never to be the same if $39 billion would land here. But the $39 billion went into the pocket of one man. So, of course, the lifespan is short. And before you know it, you're dead and gone, and your $39 billion is still sitting in the bank, right? Kind of outlasting you. And then what? Yeah. Then, of course, one gets the bill after life. So these are examples of exploitation, of extreme greed. And the whole history of the world is one of exploitation. And Europe played a good part in it. The colonial history. And of course, Europe is still playing a good part in it. Because these days, a ship with highly toxic chemical waste is leaving the ports of Europe and is smoothly sailing out of European territorial waters, direction Africa. And when it gets in front of the nice, beautiful coastline with palm trees of Africa, it dumps all that stuff in the ocean. I wanted to do. And the people from Africa, they don't know what is happening to them. Such is life. What to do? We cannot keep these things back home. What a problem. So, in this way, the world is going on. The world is going on. The musical Money Makes the World Go Round, World Go Round, World Go Round is still echoing in our ears because it is a fact. It is a fact that simply money is a very, very great driving force. And then, the other one is lust. We may remember that Brahmananda, who was one of Srila Prabhupada's very, very first disciples, and one day Brahmananda was saying that, he said, when we were in university, our teacher was so influenced by Freudian philosophy He said that the motivating factor behind everything in this world is simply sex. And said like, and then Brahma said, yes, you know, like, and then of course I put in a paper in the argument that actually, no, there is something else, that there is also a deep spiritual hankering in people. And said, but this foolish professor, right, he said, like, he couldn't appreciate that paper. And Prabhupada said, your professor was right. Yes, that is how it is. When Tripurari Swami, one of Srila Prabhupada's famous book distributor disciples, took sannyas, then he met, shortly after, he met Srila Prabhupada in New York for Rath Yatra. So when he met Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to him, he said, have you ever noticed how beautiful the women are in New York? And he's come on. He was a sannyasi, so wow, kind of. And his guru is asking, have you ever noticed how beautiful the women are in New York? So he's not supposed to, as a sannyasi, isn't he? So he was kind of like flabbergasted. He didn't know what to say. And then Prabhupada said, yes, they are very beautiful. They're very beautiful. They're so nice. And Prabhupada said, and that is why the men in New York are building all these skyscrapers. To impress them. So, and Prabhupada had a whole explanation, which was really there to protect his disciple from becoming bewildered by the illusory energy. So, the world is controlled by six enemies. Kama, Krodha, Moha, Mala, Lobha, Matsarya, lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy. And who is free from these things? Who is free? Where in the world are we free? And that is actually the cause of all the trouble in the world. Lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion. Envy. So I'll tell you an envious story. You sure you want to hear it? Yes. It's really envious. It may be too much. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. Or should I? Yes. 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 Okay, you ask for it. Okay. You can't blame me now. Blame yourself because you asked for it. Anyway, the story is about a genie in a bottle. This man, one day, there is some entity in a bottle and he just looks at it and he says, let me out, let me out, let me out. Plop. Yes, master. Aha. Yes. Yes, you can have anything you desire. But your neighbor will get double. He said, I don't care. He can have. So, all right, Mr. Genie, let's go. Can we have a palace, please? Like, healthy size and very opulent. Yeah. Consider it done. And he does this, was this amazing palace, amazing, really good. And next door, there was a whopper of a palace twice the size. Can you believe that, you know? That's like, really something. Anyway, he can have, I don't care, I got my palace. And he was there in this palace. But you know, that palace of the nature, of the neighbors, was blocking his view. Yeah, it's really getting a bit of a drag, that thing really blocking his view all the time. So, yes, master, I want a few extra stories on top of my palace. No problem. And next door, skyscraper. My God, you know, it it's too much. And the thing was blocking the sunlight. They're really getting a bit much. So our friend became very depressed, really depressed. And then he thought about it for a long time. Yes, master. He said, all right, I want that you take one of my eyes. I told you it was envious. So, envy is like that. Envy is like that. We cannot tolerate the success of others. It's painful. It's just painful. But when we see that everything goes wrong with everybody else and we are a success, that's really like, those are the best moments. You know what I'm saying? If the whole street has what you have, then it's no fun. But if you're the only one, then, you know, it's like ecstasy. In India, they have this Onida television advertisement. You know, the guy goes green with envy. He has these horns on his head also. So what shall we say? Envy is very deep. And envy can even go deeper than that. Because envy is not just jealousy on what others have, but envy is also different. It's a story of a wolf. There was a wolf one day, and the wolf was at the river, and the wolf was drinking the water, and then this little lamb comes. And this little lamb started to peacefully drink the water, and the wolf says, Hey, you dirty little lamb. Who do you think you are, sticking your filthy snout in my drinking water? Yeah. No, Mr. Wolf, no. There's no problem because I'm drinking downstream from you. Ha! Now look at that! You know, first you stick your filthy snout in my water, and then you give me some lip as well. Yeah. And you did the same thing last year. No, Mr. Wolf. Last year, I wasn't even born yet. Now it's too much for this. I will eat you. That's envious. Mm-hmm. So even that we don't let someone exist or find a bad name for a dog and hang it. In this way, the Vedic culture is very nice. Because Vedic culture speaks of praja. Praja means that which has taken birth has a right to exist. That means that you can't kill. You can't just kill. It says that when the grains grow in the field, even the birds have a right to some of the grains. One cannot stand there with a gun. And of course, you can put a scarecrow or you can go stand there yourself. And all the birds will naturally fly away. Handsome as we are. But, or, in India sometimes you see someone, we had a fruit tree, and then there was one man in one of these rope beds, and he had a rope in the tree, attached to two bamboos that, you know, and when he would pull the rope, the bamboos would hit each other and make noise, and then all the birds and bats go away. So he's the whole day sleeping under the tree, and every half an hour or every 10 minutes, pull the rope, all the birds would go, and the birds would feast on the fruits. Birds would go. This was his occupation. But at least the principle of respecting other life. Srila Prabhupada was in Mombasa, Kenya, with the devotees. And they were walking in the morning, and they came to a garden wall, and then there was a tree built into the wall. And Prabhupada said, here lives a Vaishnava. Here lives a Vaishnava because he didn't kill the tree. Although the tree was like right on the path of where he was building the wall, he didn't kill it. He said, here lives a devotee. This is a devotee. He doesn't kill. He doesn't kill. Yes. Even if it's the wrong vastu. Even if that tree is exactly in the spot where, according to the vastu book, it brings bad luck. And the tree is the cause of all the trouble in the family. Even it's that tree, and it has to go. No, Vaishnava, no. There was one expert in Vastu, expert from Jaipur, the number one from Jaipur. Jaipur wala to bahut badi hai Vastu. Ekdam pure engineer, ek number, no? Jaipur wala. क्योंकि जयपुर तो बिल्कुल वास्तु में तो बना है. So in this way a Jaipur vastu expert came to Mayapur. He said, this place is fantastic. This place is very good. The vastu of Mayapur is fantastic. He said, there is only one problem. That river. They send him right back to the desert in Rajasthan. Forget it. One problem in Mayapur, that river. Whereas it is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the breezes that blow from the Ganges are Vaikuntha breezes, and whoever becomes touched by these breezes automatically begins to chant the holy name. Automatically. So... that river. And Prabhupada was sitting in his room in the Lotus building when suddenly a Kalvaishaki or a storm, it is in Vaishak season, then these sudden storms come, and they're super powerful storms. And one of these storms was just suddenly flaring up, and everywhere doors and windows were open and banging and this, that. So devotees were running to close the doors. And then they realized, oh my God, in Prabhupada's rooms, all the doors and windows are open. And when they came to Prabhupada's room, the storm was just blowing through the room at full force. And Prabhupada's clothes were flapping like this. And his eyes were big and round. And Prabhupada said, Mayapur has these wonderful Vaikuntha breezes. So, the transcendental vision, the vision of seeing Krishna. So a Vaishnava is seeing Krishna, and a Vaishnava knows that Krishna is the well-wisher of all living beings. And as a Vaishnava, he doesn't even care about Vastu. That, Vastu or not, that tree must be protected. Even when, and Prabhupada did in Vrindavan. Brahmananda, as he tells the story, Brahmananda says there was this stump. He said it was a stump. It looked like a dead wooden stump. Right? No life in it, just there on the land. And Prabhupada said, oh, this is a tamal tree. Prabhupada said, oh, that tree cannot be cut. So then they had to design the whole temple around that tree. Right? So, and then that tree started to flourish and became quite big. And so quite amazing how and Prabhupada showed it like that. No, the tree cannot be cut. So the living beings, all living beings, are protected. But just ahimsa, just ahimsa is not good enough. Just non-violence will not do. That's just not killing animals, not killing other living beings is not good enough. Me? No. I will not kill a fly. No. You did. I will not kill a fly. No, even passive non-violence will not do. What if someone falls in the water and is drowning? And say, well, I'm passive. I'm not doing any harm. But he's drowning. I'm not causing any harm to him. He's going under. Jump. It's time. So therefore, real nonviolence is active. We have to do something. And just see, the whole of Leicester is drowning. Drowning in lust, greed, and anger, and madness. Have you noticed it? Illusion, yes. And envy. Yes. So in this way, we have to save. We have to do something. Something to change the situation. We cannot just say, well, we're not part of that. We are little angels. We are just all devotees, and we are not causing any harm to any living being. No. They're drowning. Yeah? We have to pull them out. So that is nonviolence, that we must do something to change this influence in the world. And therefore we must do something to preach Krishna consciousness. And of course, how can we preach? Srila Prabhupada's servant Hari Suri said that he wanted to go and preach. And Prabhupada said, preach, what can you preach? Prabhupada said, what can you preach? Prabhupada said, you're not preaching. He said, I am preaching. You cannot preach. So, meaning that to preach, one must be pure. And if we're not pure, how can we preach? But therefore, this book distribution was stressed so much, because in that way, Prabhupada is doing the preaching. We're just the mailman. Knock, knock, the mailman. Parcel for you, sir. Welcome. Yes, came to your door. You are the lucky one. And for a small donation. Thank you so much. See you again. You're a great guy. Oh, and by the way, here's an extra one. Oops, could you give a little more for the printing cost? Thank you. And see you. Can you say ha? Can you say Ray? Can you say KRSNA? Krishna. Yes, like that. Somehow or other, we can try. We can try. I'm impressed by one disciple of Srila Prabhupada named Vaisheshika Das, who is inspiring so many people to distribute books. And really, he's organizing whole teams, and they go out door to door and they do it. And it's quite amazing. And you can look on www.distributebooks.com. Once again, www.distributebooks.com. And you can look, and there are some videos as well, and all kinds of interesting things and tricks that you never thought that were possible. www.distributebooks.com. Thank you. Commercials. But all spiritual. All spiritual. So, yes. Bhaktaram yagyataplasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam kyatvamam santam vichyate. All sacrifices are made for Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the proprietor of everything. One man met Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. He was very wealthy, and Prabhupada said, so, what is your business? The man said, oh, we manufacture glass. And Prabhupada said, oh, how do you manufacture glass? He said, oh, it's made from silicium. Prabhupada said, well, how do you get that? I said, oh, we get it from sand. Prabhupada said, where are you getting the sand? From where are you getting the sand? And then, because it was a sadhu asking the question, he said, from God. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's right. So, you're taking something that belongs to someone, and then you're changing it a little bit, and then you're selling it in the market. What do you call that? Pakkachor. Pakkachor. Absolutely, right? You go to Chor Bazaar and that's what you get. It's changed a little bit. And then there you go. So this is the business. That's stealing. So in this way, everything came from Krishna. Today, we are claiming a piece of land and put a picket fence. And there's your nameplate at the gate, right? And your letterbox is there. And it's all, and you said no junk mail. And you put it on there because it's your house and it's because you don't want junk mail. And it's your house and you are boss there. Isn't it? That's how it is. But these things change. I went through some surrealistic experiences in my own life because my parents, they left this world when I was in my late teenage years. And then in the house where they lived, after some time, there were other people. And it was so strange, right? You walk sort of past our house, you know, yes, our house. And what are these strangers doing in our house? Kind of feeling. Once I went there to this area, and, well, we lived in different houses at different points in time. So once I was going there to my hometown area, after many, many years in India, I was in the neighborhood, and there's a nice forest nearby. So I thought, let me go to that forest and walk around. I was walking in the forest, and I was remembering, I used to play there with my brother, and this and that, and I used to, the whole, all the reminiscences. And then I thought, like, well, if I just walk past there, there's the cinema where I used to sometimes work, you know, when I was in school. And then I walked past, and the cinema had changed into a shop, you know. It's like, oh my God, the whole cinema is gone. I walked a little further and came past the place where the house was that, well, where I grew up a good portion of the time. The whole house destroyed. The house was gone. And then when I walked past the area where my school had also changed and it was not a school anymore. And I thought, my God, my whole life is destroyed here. It's gone. It's gone. And I was walking, and it's a relatively small town close to Amsterdam where I grew up. Only 30,000 people lived there. So I said, well, there must be somebody I know. Somebody my age I went to school with. So I sort of looked in the crowd to see if there was somebody out there who just sort of looked my age. And with a little familiar look, you know, with time they become a little more round. So imagine they're more slim. But nobody, nobody. And I was walking there all alone thinking, this is surrealistic. My whole life has been wiped out. And then a bus stopped, a city bus. Not at the bus stop, he just stopped. And the driver just called me over. And he was from India, right? And he said, he put his hand in the till, and he said, Swamiji, please accept this donation. I took the donation and I realized, my home is not in this place. Huh? Krishna is telling me, your home is there in India, in Vrindavan. That is your home. Forget this home. So, it is a fact that all ultimately, how can we claim a little piece of land as ours? How can we say, this place is mine, this is my country, when it's not home? Home is Vrindavan. There is no other home in the world. And everywhere else, we are tourists. Are you also a tourist? tourist in Leicester. Tourist, yes. The camera, tourist. Yes, you are tourist here in Leicester. Because home is Vrindavan. Not even Gujarat. It is Vrindavan. Gujarat is like Vrindavan. They come. So, in this way, it must be. Because it's Krishna's home, and where else could you be at home? What else? What other place can you call home? London, Big Ben, it's just a clock. It's just a clock, you know. I mean, so much fuss about a clock, you know. I've got a watch, you know, I want to know what time it is. Big Ben, big deal. Big Ben, ding dong. we're not overly impressed. So, all these things, they have nothing to do with us. Nothing. We don't belong there. We belong where Krishna is. That is the place where there's home. Therefore, Vrindavan is our home. So like this, we're understanding it's all about Krishna. Krishna is the essence and everything else. What do we care? Rich or poor? Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. Yeah, I also... there was a time when I had lived in the temple for a number of years and I found it difficult because not everyone was always friendly, and at one point I took a vacation for a little while from the temple. And I was in the south of France and I didn't know what to do. What do you do when you take a vacation from the temple? I didn't know. I was bored like anything. So I thought, tomorrow I will climb the mountain. And I climbed the mountain, 6 hours to get to the top. I was at the top. You can't believe the view, beautiful view, absolutely gorgeous view. And then, so what? So what? A beautiful material view. So what? It's not going to make you happy. Yeah. Even if it's the most beautiful view in the world. For 5 minutes, wow. And then, anyway, did I climb for 6 hours for that? My work, just for that? So all material goals are just bleak and give us just a flash of satisfaction. But Krishna, there is more and more and more. There is so much more to do in relation to Krishna. No end. And the more we invest, the more comes back. So let us do that. And in that way, take advantage of this human form of life. This one. And in this one, we were fortunate. Because how, I don't know. But in this life, we came to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And now we're still dragging our feet. And still saying, and now we're still wasting this opportunity. We came so close. We're almost there. Almost. And we say, little later. Short story and then I'll end. This story is a story about a devotee. At 6:30 I'll be finished on the dot. And then if you blow your conch shell, then... if you blow it loud enough, I'll fly off the seat. once upon a time, true story, there was a boy, he was maybe also 18 or something, and he was interested in spiritual life. Suddenly, in the middle, he was sitting out in nature and suddenly he saw a gate in the sky. A beautiful decorated gate. He saw the doors in the sky. And the doors opened. And behind those doors, there was a beautiful sage, a very wise, effulgent looking old man. And the man said, "Welcome, you can come." And the boy said, I'm still young. Maybe I can come later." "All right," the elderly man or elderly sage said, and the doors closed in his face. The shock of his life. I mean, he had never been in a mental hospital and didn't have a history of taking too many mushrooms or other things that people take nowadays. So he was in that way, it was just something that just happened. And it was quite amazing to see such a vision, but people do have visions. Anyway, but worst of all, he realized, "I got the opportunity and I blew it. I blew it." So he became a bit shocked and depressed from that, but a few months later, he was still staying with his parents, and it was winter time now, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he was flying without a plane or anything, just his body flying through the air. And as he was flying through the air, he was as he was flying through the air, he just came above a city. And he suddenly said, he heard a voice, and the voice said, "Go to San Francisco." So this time he thought, "This time I'm not going to miss the opportunity." The voice said, "Go to San Francisco." So he wrote a note for his parents, went to San Francisco. It was in the middle of the night. He got up and he went outside and he went hitchhiking. And it was winter. It was cold. And he was hitchhiking. And then, just as it was really cold, he was thinking, "God, I might freeze." A car stopped. And the driver asked, "Okay, where do you want to go?" He said, "To San Francisco." The driver said, "Okay, get in, let's go." And it turned out that the car was driving straight to San Francisco, 5,000 kilometers down. A very mystical journey. He came to San Francisco, and what happened in San Francisco? Nothing. And he was in San Francisco, and then after a while, he needed some money, so first he bought himself a motorbike, and then he got himself a job with a courier service. You know those guys, those teenagers, driving around delivering parcels. He was one of them, racing around, and one day, with his bike, he had a little accident, and he was not too badly injured, but his knee was injured, and he couldn't walk so well, so the police came there, the police took away the bike, and he was treated in the hospital, etc. Anyway, he was recovering, he had crutches, and he was sitting in Golden Gate Park. And then, just as he's sitting in Golden Gate Park, suddenly this huge chariot comes by, and there is this noise, ching, ching, boom, ching, ching, boom, ching, ching, boom, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And there, on the chariot, he saw the elderly sage who he had seen before sitting in the gate in the sky. And then the chariot drove past, and because he had injured his leg, he couldn't follow them, and therefore they drove past, ching, ching, boom, ching, ching, boom, and they were gone. And again, each time something happens, and then it just disappears. Yes, let it go. So you can imagine the shock. But a few weeks later, his leg had somewhat recovered, and he went to the police station to pick up the bike. And he came to the place where it was stored. And as he was inside the storage where all the bikes were stored, he heard some noise. Ching, ching, boom. Ching, ching, boom. Because I heard that before. That's the ching, ching, boom. And he went to look. It came through the wall. So it was next door. Oh,
And that day, as he was on the way to the police, he had brought his sleeping bag because he wanted to drop it off as the cleaner. Then he walked into the temple, and the devotees saw him, and they said, oh, you want to stay? You brought your sleeping bag. Okay, you can move in. And that's how we joined the temple. So he came, although it was a little later. So Krishna wants us to come. But we all say, yeah, just now coming. Just now coming. 5 minutes. Only punch. At least punch minutes before you know it. Another lifetime gone. And they become punch lives. Yes. And then you have to take the punches in this material world. So let's not waste this opportunity. This time we are here. Why? Why us? I don't know. Of all people in the world, why are we here? I don't know. But there is some special mercy upon us. Because there is a special opportunity. Now let's see who will be intelligent enough to take advantage of it. So this is a little intelligence test that we are practicing here today. And you have to put the round hole, the square block in the round hole, and you can do it. Yes. Here is the real intelligence test to see who will not let the opportunity go by. Thank you so much for your patience with me. I talk too much, some people say. I hope it wasn't that bad. If there is a question, I will answer it. If there's not, no problem either, then I will not answer it. Yes. Okay, it is Toshan Krishna Das from. He joined in 1968 in San Francisco. Stays in Alachua these days. Everybody's staying in Alachua.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about happiness that you get from Krishna consciousness. I'm sure we can't deny that there's happiness outside of Krishna consciousness. That if you could, just please explain the difference between the so-called happiness.
My dear Atish. Did you ever see a fish swimming in the water? And did you see those men who put the big fat worm on the nasty hook? My dear Atish, all the happiness in the world is just a worm. And there always is a nasty hook. Don't bite! Please, don't do it. You will suffer. You will cry. Now, so the soap, of course. I can also see the difference between a chapati and a pizza, if you know what I mean. it's obvious, right? But the problem is that there is a hook. Yeah? It's like, you know, you go for the pizza and then it's cholesterol. Right? It's the cholesterol hook. Where's the chapati? You know, perfect. Yeah? Perfect. So it's like a Mercedes looks like, what is a better car, let me ask? An ambassador or a Mercedes? An honest test, an honest judgment, please? Which is the better car?
I don't know which an ambassador is.
I see. My dear Atish, you've really lost your roots here. But maybe some of the older members in the room can tell you privately what an ambassador is. An ambassador is something quite special. At about the neck-breaking speed of 40 kilometers an hour, it usually starts with two wires, and even on the day that it drives out of the Birla factory, right, it leaves a trail of screws wherever it is. And probably on the second day, you are going to have a little repair on the car. And I do know of one that, as it drove out of the garage, the engine caught on fire. It is said when Birla came to the gates of heaven that they wouldn't let him in because they said he didn't do any good works. Then finally Birla said, but I built so many temples. They said, yeah, but you did with your own construction company, so you only made more profit. So that didn't count. So then they said, think of one good work you did. Then he thought, and then he said, I made the ambassador. And then people said, then in heaven they said, what is good about the ambassador? And he said, it makes people pray. So then he said, let him in. So it's a famous Indian story. Right? I didn't make a joke, I got it. It's an Indian joke. Yes. So that's an ambassador. So now that you're well informed, which is the better car, the ambassador or the Mercedes? It depends. It really depends. If you drive with your ambassador in the garage, right? 100 rupees, Baba. 100 rupees, finished. If you drive with your Mercedes in the garage, 100 pounds is nothing, right? It's just for parking, 100 pounds. Okay? So which is the better car? It's difficult to say. Because nothing comes alone. Everything comes with something else. Oh, he's got the most beautiful car in the world. Lucky fellow. I don't know. If you have the most beautiful girl in the world, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that means? She is used, that men are falling at her feet, and she wraps him around her fingers. She chews them up and spits them out, and then, right? And now, you are the lucky one who can try and keep her favor and walk as much as, see if you can keep up. And for how long before she ditches you and marries husband number 12. So, you see what I mean? There's nothing that comes alone. There's always something strings attached. And the better the enjoyment, the bigger the suffering. But not in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, no strings attached. Therefore, it's the best. No strings attached. That's the good part of it. For the first time, enjoyment, no strings attached. Nothing to pay. And it's good. All right. I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. I guess we'll have a little stretching exercise now. You have a question.
What's our ultimate goal in life?
What is our ultimate goal in life? Now that's an intelligent question. You can tell Atish. He's not sure. But the ultimate goal in life is to serve Krishna. And
Because, you know, the ultimate goal in life is to make others happy. If you can make others happy, that's very nice. And especially to make nice persons happy is very nice. And if you make the most wonderful person happy, that's Krishna. So, and if we do some service for Krishna, if you have cooked something, you, and Krishna says, that tasted very nice. That is ecstasy. That's ecstasy. That's why Krishna consciousness is the best. It's the best. Serving Krishna is the goal of life. Okay. And then you never have to come back in this material world and you don't have to cry anymore. And no more chicken pox either. And I never had chicken pox. And I don't want it either. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
His Holiness Kadambakarana Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.